So he has a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. Now this garments of vengeance would mean that he was going to get revenge. He was going to repay the wicked for the deeds that they had done. And that truly is the place of the Lord to do. It's the Lord repays these things. It's not ours. We do not get vengeance. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And so he's described here as having on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, a cloak was another part of the clothing, and zeal just is the energy, the never-ending source of activity that the Messiah does have. He does not grow slack. He is not lazy. He's not slothful, and he does not neglect anything that is his to do. He has zeal, and that's the cloak that he wears. Verse 18, and he's talking in verse 18 now about the punishment upon his enemies. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So the teaching here is that he's going to repay them according to their deeds. So everyone apparently is not going to be punished with exactly the same punishment unless they had the same deeds. According to their deeds he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Now the islands here refers to the other nations that are not the nation of Israel. All the other nations he will repay recompense. Now beginning in verse 19, he describes the effect of his deliverance. That is, this is the effect of the Messiah, of his work. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. So the true God, the living God now, his acquaintance is going to be spread all over the world. They're going to know his name from the west and to the rising of the sun. That is from east to west. At this time, the true and living God would just simply pretty well, his knowledge was confined to the little area of Israel. All the other nations had other gods, and they did not know this God. But he says, as a result of this, then, they shall fear his name from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Showing there's going to be now an opposition to these enemies. The standard of the Lord is going to be raised up in opposition against these enemies who come in. There will be a continual stand for what is right, taken by somebody, taken by the church, of course. No longer would there be just nobody anywhere on the face of the earth that would not be standing for what's right. Verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. This verse is, of course, talking about the Messiah, definitely relating to the Messiah, and it has a reference in the New Testament. Paul refers to it in Romans 11, that really makes us wonder how far-reaching this prophecy is. Now, initially, we'd like to think, well, this just applies to the church, to the Christians, to those who are have obeyed the gospel. But this, as we read this reference in Romans 11 that the Apostle Paul makes to this, we see that this verse is really talking about the Jewish people, those in Jacob, and how that they will come back to God. He says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now we know that that was fulfilled when the Messiah came, when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled his ministry and he died on the cross, and the church was established in Jerusalem, the Redeemer did come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now this is really specifically talking about those in Jacob. Now Jacob was the nation, of course, that Isaiah is prophesying about here. They were the nation that was taken into captivity. They were the nation that had to be punished. And so he's telling them that eventually Jacob is going to turn from transgression and the Redeemer will come unto them. Let's turn over to Romans 11 and read from that 11th chapter of Romans and see how this prophecy is interpreted by the Apostle Paul. I'd like to get some of the background that he's talking about here in this 11th chapter. He's talking about the fact that the Jewish people, who were the root stock of God's people, they were broken off as the natural olive branches were broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted into their place as wild olive branches. So in Romans 11, beginning back in verse 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written." Now here's our prophecy now that we're reading from Isaiah that Paul quotes. Isaiah 59, verse 20. "There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So Paul quotes from this prophecy, and he says that as a result of this prophecy being fulfilled, that all Israel shall be saved, implying that there's going to come a time in which the people that are descendants of Jacob would turn to the gospel and be saved. Now notice what he says in Romans. He says, "Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." There is a time in the church known as the fullness of the Gentiles. That is when the church has been filled up with Gentiles. And whenever the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then, he says, that this blindness, which is in part happened to Israel, this blindness would cease to be. We do not know when the fullness of the Gentiles is, whether it has already come, whether it's something that is yet to come in the future, or whether it's happening right now. But we do know that the church for this past 1900 years has been predominantly populated by Gentiles. The Jews did reject Christ. Only a relatively few of them accepted the gospel. And the vast bulk of the people in the true church have been Gentiles. And this, of course, would certainly go along with the idea of the fullness of the Gentiles. But whenever that period comes to an end, and we don't know exactly when that will be, he says, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, "There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And he's referring directly to our prophecy in Isaiah 59. And then he goes on in verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now this covenant he refers to is the next verse in Isaiah 59, verse 21, where there he does talk about the covenant. So he in Isaiah makes a covenant with the house of Jacob that the deliverer will come, the Messiah will come, and those who turn away from their sins, he will come unto them. And Paul talks about it in Romans as being something that is yet to be fulfilled. Well, it has not been fulfilled up until this time, to the very best of my knowledge, so we have to think of this as being something yet in the future, yet to be fulfilled. Now, you know, somebody comes along and says, well, the Israel, he's talking about all Israel shall be saved. That's anybody who obeys the gospel. That's Gentiles or anybody. They are then spiritual Israel. But that's not true, because in the context of Romans 11, he makes a definite distinction between the Israel he's talking about as being the Jews and the other wild olive branch being the Gentiles. For he goes on even in the next verse, and he says, verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So there is a distinction made, and you cannot cover this up by saying that all people in the church are spiritual Israel. There is coming a time when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that the blindness which has happened to Israel will be taken away. And so we see there is another prophecy here that is to yet be fulfilled before the end of time will come. So back to Isaiah 59, this 20th verse, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them it turned from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. It's very important for us to know about this prophecy, because Paul bases a large part of what he teaches in Romans 11 on this prophecy and the fact that it is yet to be fulfilled. Now the next verse is talking about the covenant that he referred to. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my word which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So he's talking about the fact that this covenant is going to be kept. It's going to be perpetuated with the descendants of those in Jacob, and we then, as we understand the Bible, we look for a time in which this will yet be fulfilled. It seems to teach that whenever the time for the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that is when the Gentiles have filled up their part of the church, the part that God is destined for them to occupy, then those of the house of Jacob who turn from transgression, they then will have the Redeemer turn to them or come to them. And as Paul says, all Israel shall be saved. Now this is a very far-reaching prophecy and thought. It is a thought that is contrary to what many people are teaching and are believing. I've heard preachers say, I don't know of any prophecy yet that's to be fulfilled before the Lord should come again. But this is a prophecy that, according to my understanding, has not been fulfilled, and it's given here in Isaiah 59, and it's referred to in Romans 11, and it is a very valid prophecy. Well, that's going to conclude our remarks for this 59th chapter of Isaiah.